The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should consider obtaining independent advice before making any financial decisions.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garimpero columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we're catching up with Rob Bills. Rob is MD and CEO of Emerson Resources. It last traded at 10.5 cents under the code ERM, or Echo Romeo Mike, and it has a market cap of about 45 million. Many listeners will know Emerson for the success it's had over the years in the high-grade Tennant Creek field in the Northern Territory. More recently, it has been drilling in the Molong Belt of New South Wales' prolific Macquarie Arc, where Alkane's Boda discovery has fired up interest in the region's potential to host more Cadias. Cadia, of course, being Newcrest's gold, copper, money printing machine near Orange. I'll get Rob to take us through the Emerson story in a moment, but first, I'll get him to fill us in on his professional background and something in particular I've heard Rob many times refer to the art of or the need for scientific exploration. So in the process of giving us that background on yourself, Rob, could you just tell us what you mean by scientific exploration?
Certainly, Barry, and great to be talking to you and the listeners. Look, my background's 25 years as a geo with Western Mining Corporation in that... I ran the copper, gold and nickel exploration. Then, of course, Western Mining got taken over by BHP Billiton, and there I was the global commodity specialist. So a good grounding in, exploration and mining and also processing. In terms of, the way we've approached things in Emerson, it's really all around trying to increase the probability of success in terms of discoveries. As we all know, it's a high-risk business. So the more risk we can take out of that, the better it is for everyone, including our shareholders. So right from the outset in Emerson, we've undertaken, science-based systematic exploration. We're certainly not in the game of, director special drill holes ramping the share price. We're more in the business of undertaking the best possible science and a very systematic program and, getting our hands on very good land positions. Obviously, the bigger the land position in known provinces, the better off we are. And then we undertake systematic science to vector in on the deposit. So that's where, as you said in your introduction, Emerson, we're in the highest grade, one of the highest grade gold fields in Tennant Creek. We're in one of the hottest exploration provinces in New South Wales. So we've got two fantastic, land holdings there.
Okay. New South Wales, you're not a new arrival there, but predating your focus into New South Wales, Tennant Creek has been synonymous with the company. So tell us, and you've notched up three or four notable discoveries there over the years. But rather than develop them yourselves, you seem to have developed this royalty stream model. Can you take us through where Tennant Creek is at the moment and what you can tell us about this royalty stream model?
Certainly. So, look, the view we've taken in Tennant Creek is that, we want to stick to our knitting in terms of our expertise is really around exploration discovery. It's not around the processing. And look, your listeners and yourself will realise that there is a very big risk going from discovery to production. We've seen the likes of Gascoigne and Dacian, companies like that. So, look, we took a view at the outset that what we want to do there is the most value we can add for our shareholders is in the discovery. And you see that time and time again with, S2 Resources, a number of those companies that have made discoveries, there's a market improvement in share price around that. So what we've done is applied the best possible science to our Tennant Creek field. We've made, a number of discoveries there. Mauritania, fantastic discovery, 20 metres at 38.5 grams. Edna Beryl, 8 metres, 157. These are just a few of the intercepts there. Goanna, we've got copper and gold. So what we've done is said, okay, make the discovery, then get a joint venture partner in to undertake the higher risk side of the converting that discovery and monetizing it. So we've got in the Southern Project area, we've got a joint venture partner there, Territory Resources, where we have an exploration and a mining joint venture over the Southern Project area. More recently, we've done that in the Northern Project area with NT Bullion. That was announced 2 weeks ago. And we have some really fantastic royalties. The best royalty is 12% royalty, 12% at the Perth Mint. So 12% of the gold bar at the Perth Mint that we receive, and it's virtually risk-free, as you'd understand. So no matter what their mining, processing, production costs are, as soon as they produce the gold, we get 12% of it. So really, if you benchmark those royalties globally, they're some of the highest in the world. The rest of the resources in Tennant Creek that we own are on a profit share basis. So obviously then that brings into play, the processing and mining costs. So that's the way we're monetizing these things. And look, the biggest, revaluation, if you like, will be once these royalties start to flow. And that will be once the Warrego Mill and the Elmore Mill get up and running in Tennant Creek.
Right. And those two mills are obviously the responsibility of the partners to get up and running while you can focus on New South Wales, which kind of neatly dovetails here for us.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct, Barry. Look, those mills, there has been some delays, and the latest is around the COVID stuff, but suffice to say, the Territory Mill, is the responsibility of our partner Territory Resources. They're poised to start, refurbishing that towards the end of July once those COVID restrictions are lifted. So they've bought all the capital items, and the main capital items have been purchased. They're up in Tennant Creek. They're ready to go. They're really focusing on getting the gravity circuit up and running, because what we found from trial mining last year was that most of the gold from Edna Beryl comes out in the gravity circuit. So we've got some high-tech things around the gravity circuit which they're putting in place. So I suspect commissioning of that will be toward the end of this year. Royalties, obviously, to Emerson next year.
If you had to, would you attribute the bulk of your current market capitalization to those NT interests alone, and New South Wales being not priced into the market cap?
It's a bit of a hard one. We've got some rusted on Tennant Creek shareholders that just love high grade gold and the discovery around that. Royalties, as you know, Barry, are not big here in Australia. So I suspect we aren't getting any uplift on royalties. And also, I think there's an execution risk that people haven't seen the royalties flowing into Emerson coffers at this point in time. So I suspect the re-rating for Tennant Creek will come next year once shareholders can see that these royalty checks come in, self-fund our exploration, hopefully pay a dividend down the track. So I suspect it's probably more around actual mills getting up and running and the royalties flowing, which will drive the revaluation.
Okay, and you mentioned there has been some COVID-type related delays and a few tweaking of the developments. But given, when's clear air for the royalty stream, you think? Next year sometime?
Yes, Barry. Look, so we've had a trial mining at our first mine, Edna Beryl, last year, and that territory mined about 2,300 odd tonnes. Trucked it all the way across to Cloncurry. Look, it had a head grade of 29 grams per tonne. We received a royalty check out of that of about 460 odd thousand. So I think the model is proven, and it's a robust, very robust deposit. So what they're going to do once the mill is commissioned, That will be the first mine which will supply the mill, and grades like that at a gold price like we see today, that's money for jam. So that'll be the first one. A royalty checks will start flowing from that. Sitting right behind that, though, is about three or four other open pit and underground operations which they will bring into production. So I think you'll start seeing steady state royalties coming into the Emmerson coffers from, you know, kind of mid next year.
Right. Okay. So good point now, I think, to switch to New South Wales, where I mentioned every man and his dog has got an exploration license in, or exploration application in that part of the world now. But you guys were there early on.
Yes, we're not a Johnny come lately on that. So we took a view in New South Wales that it was underexplored, massively underexplored. And there's some reasons for that. You know, there's a lot of cover. It's fairly tough in terms of exploration techniques in seeing through that cover. We have some technology to do that. We did a strategic alliance with a small company called Kennex, who you know, do a lot of big data analysis. We've used them in Tennant Creek. So we picked up that ground about 3 years ago. You know, strong ground positions in the Moulon Belt. One of our projects, Wellington's about, you know, 10 k's away from the LK Boda discovery that you referred to earlier. We've recently been drilling about 100 k's south in that Moulon Belt, which has all the attributes that you see at Cadia Ridgeway. So the same age rocks, alteration, lots of gold, lots of geochemistry. We've just finished that first round of drilling. First time that that project's ever seen any drilling, deep drilling, and we're waiting on the results. We also have projects in the Narromine Belt over near North Parkes. So we've got, you know, reasonable land positions over there. So in total, we've got five early stage greenfields projects, which I like to term as, you know, we're hunting really there in elephant country, because, you know, the Cadia Ridgeway deposits, as you alluded to, very high value, very large deposits, and, you know, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, I think if anyone had a look at your most recent presentation, the map there where you've got the Boda discovery up to the north, you've got Cadia in the middle, and is it correct pronunciation here, Keola?
Yes.
To the south, and
yes.
Cadia, of course, being 43 million ounces and 8 million tonnes of copper, which allows for negative cost gold production, which is pretty neat. So is Keola the most advanced?
Yes, it is. So we've just finished the round of drilling. So prior to that, we've been out there on the ground. We've been doing systematic science-based mapping, sampling, auger drilling, and IP geophysics. And our, you know, this area of Keola, we've defined about a 15 square kilometre area of very, very anomalous copper and gold geochemistry. There's a lot of old workings, copper workings, gold workings, and these are the first. We drilled four holes for about 1,400-odd metres of drilling. These are the first kind of deepish holes. Went down, a maximum of 350-odd metres into this system. We've intersected skarn mineralisation. Now, you know, the technical-minded would immediately think of skarns associated with Big Cadia at the Cadia Ridgeway system. That's the sort of similar sort of rocks that we found at Keola. So we've drilled through skarn, we've intersected lots of sulfides, we announced some visual chalcopyrite, copper sulfides in a number, or in fact in all of the drill holes. And obviously, you know, we can't report anything more until we get the assay results back.
Right, okay. And the limit of that drilling was 350 metres, did you say?
Yeah, so the first round really, Barry, was more to just get an idea of what the subsurface geology looks like. You know, as I said, there's no prior deeper drilling. So we were drilling a number of geochemistry and geophysical IP anomalies, and some of these IP anomalies were really tantalising. I mean, you know, they're for the technically minded, they're very chargeable, very, very conductive, and what we actually intersected was lots and lots of sulfides. So we've explained the IP, and now it's a matter of putting it all together with the alteration to go back again, do some more probably 3D geophysics this time, and then some deeper drilling.
Mm. So lots of encouragement there, hitting a scan. So down the track, the target would, you know, a deep buried porphyry target of some sort?
That's right. So, you know, these skarns typically are on the periphery or on the margin of these porphyry systems. And as you know, Cadia Ridgeway, it's not just one single deposit, it's a cluster. So what we're hoping is that within this 15-kilometre zone at Keola, there's a cluster of porphyries. Now, we need to be able to vector in on those porphyries. The skarn is telling us that we're in the right general area. However, we're still, from the alteration and from our drilling, we're still on the periphery. So now we need to go back and figure out exactly where the core of that system is, and then target some drilling into that.
Right. Now, this is 100% Emerson?
So as a part of that targeting with Kenex, they earn a 10% free carry to pre-BFS. Otherwise, it's 90% ERE, 10% Kenex.
I was just wondering if there's any colour you can give us around the exploration boom in that part of the world. Are you getting any approaches from bigger companies saying, let us come in, cut a deal?
We have lots of approaches. As you know, it's an exploration hotspot. But for Emerson shareholders, we believe that the biggest uplift is discovery, and you know, trying to keep it within Emerson is obviously a challenge given the costs associated with doing these sort of programs. But at this point in time, we don't want to farm it out. We think it's a really red hot project. We want to keep it in Emerson as long as we possibly can. But we do recognise that at some point in time down the track that, you know, we will have to JV it out, because these things, these big porphyry things, obviously take a lot of dollars to develop.
So the dual core is in the lab. What sort of turnaround are you expecting? When might investors hear the results, the assay results?
I think end of July, Barry, will be the time when the results will start coming. And they'll be certainly interesting. As I said, we've intersected significant sulfides, some visible copper. Also, we have high gold in some of the geochem. So potential there for, a bit of gold associated with these systems. But just to calibrate expectations, we're still on the edge of the system. We still haven't drilled the core.
Mm, okay. Exciting, nevertheless. So you're not drilling it elsewhere at the moment in New South Wales?
No, so we're ready to go on a project in the next belt across near North Parkes. It's called the Kadungal Project. So we've won collaborative funding from the New South Wales government. It's part of their New Frontiers program. So we won collaborative funding for Keola and Kadungal. So Kadungal is the next one off the ranks, and we'll be drilling that probably in the next couple of months.
That's up near Fifield, I think. Is it any platinum in your view of the world there, or is it gold copper you're looking for?
Yes, no, it's gold copper, Barry. The platinum's a little bit further to the west, so it's purely gold copper. This project, Kadungal, is a JV with Aralia, so they're at 15%, and we're the major shareholder, and we're the managers and operators.
Mm-hmm. Any timing on a likely drill program there?
Yep, so look, I think we'll be up and running September. We'll be drilling that one, and we've got, I think it's about 1,500 odd metres of diamond drilling, down to about 1.5 kilometres. We've got some really, really good IP anomalies. We've also, in previous rounds, intersected high gold and some reasonable copper, plus, we've intersected some really interesting looking porphyry intrusions. These are the things that drive the copper and gold. So these intrusions have chalcopyrite veins in them. They're highly altered. We've targeted these holes to hopefully intersect more of these and get a bit of a feel for, what's down there at depth.
All right. So pretty full book for the rest of this year. I was just wondering, what are the finances like at this stage?
So look, we've will be reporting about 1.3 million cash for the at the end of the quarter. However, we've recently announced, as I said earlier, a joint venture with NT Bullion for the northern project here in Tennant Creek. And now, as part of that joint venture, NT Bullion are doing a placement in Emerson at 15.5 cents. You know, we're currently trading at 10.5 or so. So that's a quite a premium to the share price. So that'll add another $2 million to the coffers. And then, you know, the royalty payments hopefully kicking in next year. So so we think we're in a reasonable position.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so if we could just summarise things for investors in terms of what news flow to look out for, I guess it's assay results from Keola and then the drilling program around September in Cadungal.
That's right. So there's a couple of, you know, milestones and potential for re-rating. Certainly assay results, Keola, drilling Cadungal in New South Wales. We'll be doing some also some other work in New South, getting ready for, you know, for drilling down the track. Back in Tennant Creek, the joint venture with Territory Resources and the joint venture with NT Bullion, the mills becoming operational, and then, of course, both those joint ventures have exploration JVs where we're the managers and operators. So drilling at Mauritania and potentially at a project, another project called Jasper Hills, and then drilling some of the southern project areas. So those projects in Tennant Creek are funded by our joint venture partners, so no call on our cash for those. However, they obviously success obviously means that you know, more royalties for Emerson, more royalties for Emerson shareholders.
All right. Okay, it's a fantastic mix there with the maturing production profile up in the NT, soon to deliver royalty streams, and of course the exploration excitement to come out of New South Wales. So all the best with it, and thanks for your time today, Rob.
Fantastic, Barry. Thanks for the interview.
Good on you.